Chapter 27. There shall be no more night. But all is on the very verge of a flood tide of life, for the seed vessel has reached its highest ministry now. The last wrappings are torn, and from every rent and breach the bare grain is shed forth and brought into direct contact with the soil. Suddenly, as if by miracle, the quickening comes, and the emerald shoot is to be seen. The message of the tiny seed interprets human life. Without it, suffering remains an inscrutable mystery. The great corn of wheat showed forth the meaning of love by suffering. And here's a poem by Edward Shillito. If we have never sought, we seek thee now. Thine eyes burn through the dark, our only stars. We must have sight of thorn pricks on thy brow. We must have thee, O Jesus of the scars. The heavens frighten us. They are too calm. In all the universe, we have no place. Our wounds are hurting us. Where is thy balm? Lord Jesus, by thy scars we claim thy grace. The other gods were strong, but thou wast weak. They rode, but thou didst stumble to a throne. But to our wounds, only God's wounds can speak. And not a God has wounds, but thou alone. As thousands have testified, were it not for wounds, they would never have known so deeply him whose wounds speak. Thomas refused to believe in the Christ of the resurrection until he showed them his hands and his feet. We must have thee, O Jesus, of the scars. We bow in gratitude for his willingness to take the cup the Father gave him, a cup so immensely more bitter than the one he gives us. Shall we refuse it, or shall we grasp it with both hands, as it were, realizing it holds just what is most needful for our spiritual wholeness? Ours has been sweetened, as Rutherford put it, at the lip of sweet Jesus. We drink it by trustful acceptance, and God transforms it for his glory. Thus our very suffering may become the substance of sacrifice, a love offering to God and a sacrifice of praise, and our ambition may be changed as radically as was Paul's, who said, all I care for is to know Christ, to experience the power of his resurrection, and to share his sufferings in growing conformity with his death. We are on the very verge of a flood tide of life. The miracle will come. We do not know the moment. But his servants shall worship him. They shall see him face to face and bear his name on their foreheads. There shall be no more night, nor will they need the light of lamp or sun. For the Lord God will give them light, and they shall reign forevermore. That's from Revelation 22, 3-5, and it's the end of the text, but there is an appendix, a summary of reasons for suffering. I found four categories, 28 reasons, and more than 50 scriptures. I'm not going to read you the scripture references, but let me just give you this summary. We may group some of God's reasons into four categories. The list of references is by no means exhaustive. First, we suffer for our own sake, that we may learn who God is, that we may learn to trust, that we may learn to obey. Discipline is proof of the Father's love and of the validity of our sonship. It's the condition of discipleship. It's required of soldiers. We are being pruned that we may bear fruit, that we may be shaped to the image of Christ, to qualify us to be fellow heirs with Christ, to qualify us for the kingdom of God, to qualify us to reign with Christ, that our faith may be strengthened, that faith may be tested and refined, that we may reach spiritual maturity. Power comes to its full strength in weakness. We suffer to produce in us endurance, character, hope, to produce in us joy, and generosity. Second category, we suffer for the sake of God's people, that they may obtain salvation, to give them courage, in order that because of death working in us, life may work in them, that grace may extend to more people, that our generosity may bless others. Third category, we suffer for the world's sake, that it may be shown what love and obedience mean, that the life of Jesus may be visible in ordinary human flesh. And fourth, we suffer for Christ's sake, that we may be identified with him in his crucifixion. Suffering is the corollary of faith. We suffer that we may share his suffering, and we suffer that we may share his glory. As I mentioned, I didn't want to go through all the scripture references, but of course you can find them in the book. I have read my book, A Path Through Suffering. Every chapter has begun with a quotation from Lilias Trotter's Parables of the Cross and Parables of the Christ Life. Both of these books are out of print, but I have read them both on tape. You can get them by writing to Lars Gren, LARSGREN, 10 Strawberry Cove, Magnolia, Massachusetts, 01930. Thank you for listening to my book, A Path Through Suffering. This is the author, Elizabeth Elliott.